And joining me now on the phone is my good friend Wayne Slater, the senior political writer for the Dallas Morning News. Wayne's covered Texas politics for more than two decades. He's also the co-author of two books on Karl Rove. One, Bush's Brain, How Karl Rove Made George W. Bush Presidential, and also The Architect, Karl Rove and the Dream of Absolute Power. Wayne, thanks very much for joining me this morning.
Rick, as always, great to be with you.
Well, I know you're just saying that. It's Sunday morning, even early in Texas time. But
I would rather be at the husband and hog calling contest in Springfield, but that's another matter.
You know, I've never been to the Texas State Fair before.
It's a great fair. Now, Illinois is great, Iowa's great, Texas is great, and Ohio are great. I've been to all four. These are great, great state fairs. But all the caveats you just mentioned are true in every case.
Well, I don't like Illinois State Fair. I mean, I'm sorry. I like the Wisconsin State Fair, but not the Illinois State Fair.
Oh, that's right. That's a great one with Garrison. Anyway, yes.
Well, you know, I know you were just on the show recently, and I was somewhat hesitant to abuse our friendship by having you back on. But I got to tell you, Texas is never not in the news, it seems. And I kind of let off the show by raising the question, is Texas Senator Ted Cruz the real U.S. Speaker of the House?
Oh, you betcha he is. I mean, that's what Democrats say anyway. It's a critique of Boehner. Rick, you know this. This is astonishing what happened this week, that a freshman, not simply an established and veteran state senator, U.S. senator, but a freshman senator had such influence as to bollocks up the works in the House, embarrass, humiliate the House Speaker and his leadership team, forced them to go back and sweeten, from the conservative point of view, an immigration bill that really doesn't, as a practical matter, do anything, because the Senate is gone, the House was ready to go, nothing was ultimately going to pass. But here is Ted Cruz, really, some people said he was a rebel without a cause. Oh, he's got a cause. He's got a very clear cause. He is the clearest clarion call to the grassroots Republicans who are going to be important in Iowa and South Carolina and northern Florida. People may make fun of him. His colleagues in his own party may despise him in some cases in Washington, but he is emerging as an extraordinarily influential figure in American politics.
Well, I mean, here we go from the influential role he played in the government shutdown to now, you know, the issue of bollocksing up the House Republican leadership.
Hey, Rick, here's the thing. I think some people, it may not be as clear in some minds. You look exactly at what you just said. People say, well, wait a minute, what does Ted Cruz do? He comes in and takes matches and burns the place down. He shut the government down. He in this case, he humiliated his own party leadership. He didn't really stop anything. He stopped a sham bill that ultimately was passed in a stronger fashion. But what he was able to do was to go to Iowa, where Ted Cruz is today, and will return, and I'm going to return with him to Iowa later this week, and he's able to say, look at me, look at what I have done. And you have to ask yourself, what has he done for the grassroots, the hard right grassroots, Tea Party conservatives, at least some of them in the party? He's the guy who will stand up and punch the opponents in the nose, not just talk to them, but punch them in the nose. And there is something in that visceral attitude of Cruz that's very appealing to a constituency that is not very happy with how things are right now.
Well, and how does that play as far as his most direct constituency in Texas?
Oh, they love him. Oh, he's very high this is a conservative state. Democrats haven't won statewide office in Texas since 1994. People like Ted Cruz. He's high on a job approval and approval ratings. And I think part of the reason is that when he ran for Senate, because I traveled around with him, when he ran for Senate, he said again and again, I'm not going to Washington to make friends. I'm going to Washington to make a difference. And we all rolled our eyes and thought, okay, fine, he will be part of an establishment in Washington, though he may be part of the hard right voice of that establishment. But ultimately, you got to agree if you want some money for highways. Ultimately, you got to agree on something and compromise and reach some consensus if you want some money for a military basis. He's done none of that. He has done exactly what he said on the campaign trail. And I think it's this sort of, I'll stand up and to my opponents with boxing gloves on, that is at the heart of his appeal.
That's a very interesting story. Wayne Slater, Dallas Morning News. Stay there. We'll be right back with more after this. Welcome back to the Sunday Spin. I'm Rick Pearson here in the Allstate Showcase studio, and joining me on the phone is Wayne Slater, my good friend, senior political writer for the Dallas Morning News. And you know, it's amazing how these Texas politicians are such national figures. We were talking about Texas Senator Ted Cruz. I want to move a little bit over to now the issue of Texas Governor Rick Perry, and kind of what I would say is a, in some respects, astonishing kind of turnaround that as he looks to a possible 2016 Republican presidential bid. I don't know, is it the glasses that he's wearing now, or but he's, I mean, he's not the oops guy anymore.
No, and he has had a remarkable bit of public positive national media attention, certainly in the last few months. This is a careful effort by the Rick Perry campaign after the oops moment of his disgraceful performance in the 2012 12 presidential race. He basically jettisoned his top campaign guy, got a new guy from California, got some elements of a new team, got some new glasses, took off the cowboy boots, and they put together a plan. And the plan was, Americans will forgive if, in fact, you look like you're a little self-effacing, if, in fact, you look like that you have a story to tell. And in the case of Perry, his story is he's the jobs governor. Okay, so he has something that is unique among the various candidates. Moreover, here in Austin, his guys have done what Karl Rove did for George W. Bush. They have spent a year or more bringing in foreign and domestic policy experts to brief Perry, and he is studying and he is learning. Perry was on CNN this morning talking about Israel and how important we must stand by our ally in Israel. And I don't even suggest that he doesn't believe that, but that is music to the ears of the same constituency, Christian conservatives in Iowa, whom he will be meeting with on Friday or on Saturday at the family leader gathering, a big, big social conservative political gathering there. So he's tried to dial down the swagger, put on the glasses, tried to learn a bit. The problem for Rick Perry, and I've said this before, is that although the rehabilitation tour is going well, he seems to be quite impressive if you talk to him now about issues. He's still Rick Perry. Rick Perry 2.0 is still Rick Perry 1.0, and he is only two gaffes away from people being reminded of the oops guy. That may never happen, Rick, but
if it does,
be aware of that. Yeah, if it does, we're going to quickly remember, oh yeah, that guy.
Well, and I also find it interesting, as you mentioned, the issue of speaking in support of Israel and the foreign policy of Rick Perry. It also is the contrast that Perry is actively trying to work and criticizing Rand Paul, the Kentucky yes. senator who, you know, is being labeled as an isolationist, a non-involvement, that kind of thing. And it's kind of been interesting to watch that back and forth take place.
Yeah, and it was funny. I was talking to Rand Paul at the state Republican convention in Fort Worth this year, and Rand Paul pointed out, hey, I'm a Texan too. Remember that? All these guys claim their local roots. And I talked to a social conservative leader in Iowa this week who said, what has happened to Republicans on the hard right, the social conservative right, in the last few election cycles, presidential cycles, is that we have failed to coalesce around a single candidate. Perry knows this. Ted Cruz knows this. Marco Rubio knows this, despite his stumbles. Governor Huckabee, it looks like he may put his toe in again. He might. The effort this time, and Rand Paul wants to appeal, not totally to social conservatives because he has a problem on foreign policy and some libertarian views, but all these guys know that the game in 2016 is who can be the alternative to the quote establishment candidate. Can one person coalesce largely the strong interlocking Tea Party conservative grassroots support with overwhelming social conservative, religious conservative, Christian conservative support in the early caucus and primary states? If one person can coalesce folks, Perry wants that group, Cruz wants that group, and I'm hearing that Rubio is thinking about ways to get that group. That could be at least someone to challenge for the Republican nomination in a way that that group has not been successful recently.
Well, and one of the things, too, that Governor Perry's been in the news about is that whole issue of the child immigration issue and calling for 1,000 Texas National Guardsmen to man the border, even though apparently from my reading, they don't have arrest powers. They don't. There's no method to determine. I guess there was a legislative hearing in Texas, and there's no way to ascertain whether they are what are they doing there, and is it working? Because nobody knows what they're supposed to be doing.
They don't have police powers. They're a military, and so the governor has called out 1,000 National Guard who have the authority to shoot children, but they can't ask those children for their papers. Now nobody's going to shoot any children. We understand that, but that really points up the misfit here. Interesting battle between Rick Perry and Ted Cruz fighting for this group. Perry says, I'm the jobs governor. Cruz responded to a question I had a couple of months ago here in Austin, in which I said, what do you think about that? And he said, well, I'm sick and tired of these politicians who go around the country saying they create jobs. America creates jobs. Government doesn't create jobs. And then Cruz said, and I'm for Israel. I'm the real guy. When the FAA, the Obama administration, shut things down, it's bad. Perry showed up this week in Dallas at a pro-Israel rally, has a Politico op-ed piece today saying, no, I'm the real Israel guy. And when it came to the border, Perry said, I'm sending the guard. Cruz shut down the House virtually on the issue. They're playing a game here, baby.
Well, I mean, it's just fascinating. And you know, here in Chicago, of course, with the issue of crime and how that's become kind of a national kind of reputation, and you hear calls about, you know, well, we should bring the Illinois National Guard into Chicago. And of course, in the same respects kind of you cited, that's not really what their job is. They're not really law enforcement. It's more of a, you know, military support type operation that they're supposed to be doing.
And the Governor Perry says, look, even if they, when confronted with that fact, that what they can do is provide some kind of logistical support or some other kind of support, he said, you know what, they're visible. Their visible presence will deter bad people from coming across the border. And Rick, you know, maybe, hey, I mean, what are they really hurting? It hurts Texans because it costs $12 or $17 million a week, but I'm not sure that it really hurts anything. And what it does do politically, cynically, is that for those people who say don't encumber me with the facts, just tell me the symbology here. You've got these guys who are on the border. The real problem politically for this kind of activity is it reinforces among many Hispanic, a growing constituency, many Hispanic voters, that this is the party, the Republican Party, are the guys who don't like us, and that's not helpful. Karl Rove and a lot of, as you know, a lot of smart, sort of more establishmentarian Republicans have been saying, can we show that we're tough, but not that we're mean? And that's really the task, I think, as we go into the 2016 presidential race, who can look tough but not mean on domestic issues like immigration? Who can look tough and meaningful on Israel and foreign policy issues? I think that's the divide in the Republican Party.
Wayne, you just summed it up. I love it. I mean, that is, I think I agree with you 100%. That's where the 2016 race on the Republican side is headed. Wayne Slater, my good friend, senior political writer, Dallas Morning News, thanks for joining me this morning on the Sunday Spin.
Great to be with you, Rick.
We'll be back with more right after this.